Hi, and welcome to Online with USU. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jessica.
And today we're talking about managing stress during finals week. This is an important topic because so often when we think about managing stress during finals week, we think test anxiety, right? That's kind of the first thing that comes to mind. How would you describe test anxiety?
For me, test anxiety, it sounds like when someone is anticipating a test and then, or is sitting down to take a test and then they can't perform very well. Like, they can't focus on the questions. They can't recall information, even though they may have studied really hard and really well and effectively. They can't take the test because they're just paralyzed. Probably an extreme example, but that's what I think of.
Well, I think that's an important distinction because, I mean, yeah, test anxiety is a thing. I mean, and you can look into anything like general anxiety disorders, panic attacks, agoraphobia. There's all kinds of clinical things that can manifest like test anxiety, and test anxiety is just one of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
What our goal today is to talk about managing stress so that you're gonna lessen the chance of having a panic attack when you go in. Now, if you do have a panic attack when you go into tests and stuff like that, it may be worthwhile talking to one of our counseling and psychological services people, because there are some things that may be indicative of a greater general anxiety disorder or something like that that you can get help with, that you don't have to live with panic attacks. You don't have to live with anxiety. You know, there are ways of combating it and getting rid of it. So please, you know, if you do severe anxiety, especially when you go into testing situations, take a look into that first, because that may be something that may be an improvement in life that you can take advantage of. But today we're talking about managing stress during finals week, right? And it's important to note that one of the best ways to avoid stress during finals when it comes to the test itself or the finals themselves is to do all of the things that we talked about in our test preparation episode, right? If you are prepared for the test, it is far less likely that you will start panicking and start stressing out.
The best stress management is to prepare from day one.
Yes, yes. If you are prepared, you're not going to be as stressed out.
Yes, managing stress from the beginning is the best way to manage stress when it really starts creeping up on you, like during finals week.
Perhaps a better thing would be preventing stress is the best way of managing it.
Yeah, fair point. You've heard it here first, folks.
Now, stress is unavoidable. Stress comes from all different places. And so when it comes to managing stress during finals, it's likely that the stress you're managing may not be related to your test. You may feel comfortable at your test, but I mean, students that are taking classes online are dealing with more than just their classes,
right? Mm-hmm.
So we actually, years ago, I did a interview with one of our employees over at the Counseling and Psychological Services, or the CAPS office. You can find that webinar online. We'll include a link in the show notes. And it's a 47-minute long wonderful discussion or presentation that she gives on managing stress and specifically dealing with test anxiety. So she actually like gets into the weeds on test anxiety and that sort of stuff. Definitely go check that out. If you don't have 47 minutes, we understand. And that's why we're doing this. So briefly, I do want to talk about just some of the things, why it's important to manage stress. And one of the slides that Dr. Lisa had was the symptoms of too much stress. And this was rather insightful. I remember when she presented this, everything from physical to behavioral to emotional, just some highlights when it comes to physical: heartburn, headaches, back pain, high blood pressure, sleeping problems, lack of energy, and a big one, of course, trouble concentrating. That's certainly a symptom of stress you don't want to be having in the middle of testing season. Behavioral ones as well. I thought this was interesting: being accident prone, procrastinating. It's not like we don't suffer with that enough as it is, right? You know, constantly seeking for reassurances and validation from others, crying easily. You know, I'm not sure there's ever been a student that didn't have at least a breakdown once in their educational career, whether it was in elementary school or college.
It's so true.
Yeah. And then we were actually talking about this a little bit briefly. Emotional anger is the one that comes out a lot, and anger is oftentimes the manifestation of a lot of other emotions. And these other emotions may be frustration, hopelessness, depression.
Lack of worth, feeling inadequate.
Yep. being irritated. I mean, we tend to manifest a lot of those different emotions and anger. And so one of the most important things we can do when it comes to managing stress is, one, owning that, yes, we are owning it. You know, as they say in all of the anonymous organizations, the first key is acknowledging that there's a problem. And then identifying what the stressors are, where they're coming from, can actually help us address them, right?
Yeah. I think an important distinction to make here is that there's good stress and there's bad stress. I think good stress is, everyone has good stress. It's what motivates us to, you know, to study, to do well on our exams, to, you know,
keeps us from procrastinating.
Yeah. It helps us push ourselves to grow and, you know, develop and, you know, learn more. But then there is the bad stress, and when we're not managing the bad stress, that's when we start getting into these, you know, these things that you just listed out too. Yeah.
I think another way of looking at it is we have different pressures on our life.
Yeah.
And when pressure hits a certain point, it becomes stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes that negative aspect to our existence, and brings these negative results with it. So, I mean, it's important. Sit down. If you're feeling particularly stressed, if you're feeling that, you know, things are getting away from you type of stuff, sit down and think, okay, where's all these pressures coming from? What am I getting? Is it from family responsibilities? Is it from work? How much is coming from school? Because let's face it, school is giving you some if you're in classes. You know, how much is it, and where is it coming from? And then once you've identified those, you can look into, okay, how do I confront these? How do I combat these? How do I cope with them? Because some stresses may be eliminated. If a stress is from people constantly asking you to do things for them, you can eliminate that stress by saying no.
Yes, we've talked several times about saying no.
Yeah, the time management, Franklin or Stephen Covey, we've talked about this. Sometimes the best thing you can do is to say no. And if you can eliminate that stress, that pressure, fantastic. You know, but sometimes, like for instance, family responsibilities, we have to find ways of either coping with it or mitigating it. A common stress in my family is keeping the house clean. My wife works from home, and we've got four kids, and I work here on campus, and it is really hard to keep the kitchen clean. It is really hard to keep the house clean, especially with a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. Especially when those 4-year-olds and 7-year-olds don't want to do anything other than play and have fun, and they don't want to empty the dishwasher and
stuff
like that, right? I will
tell you that I have roommates who are in their late 20s, early 30s, and it is still a struggle for the house to be maintained in order.
Yeah, and one of the things that stresses my wife out is when the space is disorganized. You know, it's not just a little dirty or not messy, but if it's just a mess, if it's just bad, it stresses her out. Yeah, it keeps her from doing other things that she needs to do, that she feels that she needs to do.
I used to be a very disorganized person. It, my mom, I think, just kind of gave up asking me to clean my room. One, because I'm not a messy person when it comes to common areas. It was just my specific bedroom. But after a couple years of college and after living in another country, I learned the importance and the value of keeping things organized. And it's to the point where I cannot stand when there are dishes in the sink. And I cannot. And I can't stand when there's like little wrappers on the floor. I can't. And so when I was studying, when I was in school, it was really hard for me to focus, actually, if I was in an area that was disorganized, because it would be so distracting to me. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't study. I couldn't study effectively.
Yeah. I mean, and a way of coping with that, one, of course, is if it's within your power, setting up systems to do things. Like, for instance, I always would, for myself, I would wash my dishes before I ate. Like, I'd wash the dishes I used to make the food before I ate.
Oh, I do pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then I'd finish eating, immediately wash my stuff and put it away, right? You know, if that's within your power, great. But you know, if it's you know, roommates and stuff like that. My freshman year, we joked that there was one roommate that didn't have a meal plan, but didn't have any dishes or pots or pans. Like, he was going to do a meal plan, but then decided not to at the last minute, and so he just used everybody else's stuff.
Oh.
And he never cleaned it, you know. And it was funny. It was funny. We got to a point where we had a roommate meeting. I think there were four of us there, four of the six, and Brandon was not one of the ones that was there. And we were like, all these dishes in the sink. It's ridiculous. Who's not doing the dishes? And everyone's just like, or Ryan, the oldest roommate, he was a junior. All the rest of us were freshmen. Ryan's like, who's not doing the dishes? And we're like, it's Brandon. He says, no, it's not Brandon. The dishes in the sink aren't Brandon's. Like, what are you talking about? And we lay out all the evidence. He says, but the thing is, Brandon leaves his dishes wherever he ate. He never puts them in the sink, which means all the dishes in the sink are somebody else's. And we're like, ah, crap, you're right. You know, but if you're in that kind of situation, the way you cope with that may be the way that I coped with it, meaning that I never studied at home in my dorm. I always studied at the library. I always took myself to a spot where I would be in a situation where I didn't have to worry about the situation that I was in, my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd still have to go home and do the dishes, but I did all of my studying on campus. So in terms of managing my school anxieties and my school studies, that's how I dealt with that. That's how I coped with that stress, you know. And then I'd get stressed out at home while doing the dishes. But I could do that while listening to music or an audiobook, yeah, or watching a movie or stuff like that. So that's how I dealt with that stress, was of doing my dishes and dealing with my roommates. So, I mean, that's just one example of how the external things can impact your studies and your focus. What are some other common stressors that students see that are non-school related?
I would say some other stressors are if you work, which is very common for people in online programs and courses. Family, we have a lot of working parents who are also studying. I think another stressor could be just feelings of, can they do it?
Inadequacy.
Like, yes, like self-doubt, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and let's kind of talk about that one first, simply because one of the common things we're dealing with stress in general is mindfulness and self-care, right? And I think this plays a big part into feelings of inadequacy. Whether it's writer's block when you're trying to sit down to write a paper, or just questioning, you know, can I really go back to school at this time in my life type of thing. There are some very good things. There are some great things out there when it comes to maintaining a positive mental attitude, maintaining a realistic, positive appraisal of yourself, you know, that confidence. There's lots of things in regards to meditation and mindfulness that are available out there. And having that self-care, being mentally aware and mentally engaged with your own self-care is an important thing.
Yeah, I would just say again, we have the counseling and psychological services resource on campus. They're really good at helping you kind of work. They have a personal guide, something that you just kind of do with yourself.
You have a self-paced, self-guided thing for all kinds of stressors, situations, mental health,
mm-hmm,
the whole nine yards.
Yeah, but then they also have dedicated, I don't know if they're called psychologists or therapists.
Counselors, I think.
Yeah, counselors. They have counselors that can help you work through some of these, I guess, more underlying issues of why maybe you feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Or bigger issues as well. Most people have something wrong with them, right?
Yeah, we are imperfect people.
Yeah, and most of the time that thing is we're able to overcome that thing with our own efforts. But there are times where things get out of control, or where something will happen that will exacerbate whatever we're dealing with. And it's important to be able to know who you can talk to at that time. And sometimes the best person you can talk to is a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're in courses and you're feeling that maybe you're not up to par, I think talking with your advisor too, because it could be a Absolutely. Simple matter of maybe you're not in the right courses. Maybe you need to scale back on the number of credits you're taking each semester. Your advisor is a great resource as well.
I've advised for 10 years, and there have been very... I don't know if there's been a single student that I didn't think could succeed under certain circumstances. The students that I saw struggle were the ones I saw that struggled academically tend to be the ones that were either had too much other things on their plate, and so they should scale back, or they should take a small break. Or I did see a couple that the format or the environment was not a good fit for them. They would have done better in like a trade school, or in a different type of educational endeavor. But I've never, ever met somebody that I did not think could succeed in education one way or another. It's just a matter of finding the right fit and creating the right circumstance.
Yeah, finding that balance between all the things that pull on your attention.
In short, nobody is too dumb for school.
Yeah.
It's just a question of finding the right situation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We talked a little bit about feelings of inadequacy and self-care and mindfulness and that sort of thing. In regards to work and family, two other big things, some common ways of making sure or of managing that stress is one, when it comes to work, for instance, getting as much separation as you can. You know, if you've got, they talk about, leaving work stuff at work and, not bringing it home is a common thing for in regards to relationship issues and things like that, or relationship dynamics. But having some kind of separation between if you've got a stressful job, being able to separate that one way or another from the rest of your life tends to be a very helpful thing. When it comes to family, family can be a stressor, but can also be a big support, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit in the time management one. Asking your family for help on certain things, like in my situation with my wife, and our messy house, it's a matter we're trying to maximize, what we can have the kids do, find things that they are able to fit, that they're able to fit into their time slots so that they're able to help out as much as possible so that we're not shouldering all that burden, but we don't want to make their life miserable as well. Like in the church, so it's a matter that it's that balance, which is oftentimes comes up both in time management and in regards to stress management, is finding the right balance in life.
Yeah, I would. So the semester that I took a history class online, and then I got an F in because I just procrastinated.
That 4,600 level class you took as a sophomore or something like that,
yes,
right?
So yeah. That semester, I had a lot going on with my family. And it wasn't that there was a lot going on. It was just mentally, it was just very draining to me. I was like, this is just the stupidest thing. And I've noticed this about myself. I have a very hard time separating, work and school and from my personal life. Like if I'm not feeling super great, my personal life, it's going to manifest itself in work and family. So I've noticed that when I'm starting to feel these things, I have to express them. And that semester, I did not necessarily express how to people what I was feeling about certain things, which is part of the reason why I was okay getting an F in the history class. Otherwise, I probably would have been like, hey, we're going to read 3 books this weekend. Let's go. But it's true. If you're not dedicating time and mental capacity appropriately between each of the things going on in your life, something's going to fail. In my case, it was my online class.
Yeah. I mean, and knowing and acknowledging what's going to give and that it's going to give,
mm-hmm.
can be actually rather releasing. It can be nice to know, okay, it's all right if this happens.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about this. I mentioned the story of my buddy that something's got to give and it can't be my computer science class, right? Can this gen ed class go type of thing?
Yep. So the second I decided that I was okay getting an F, it was liberating.
Yeah.
I was halfway through the semester. I was like, oh, one less thing to worry about.
Yeah. And knowing, my wife describes it as, it's juggling the balls and knowing which ones are glass, mm-hmm. right? And I was talking with one person, and they said, all of my balls are glass. I just have to make sure I juggle fast enough. And I think, and you're going to burn out.
It's so true.
Now, luckily for this person, this period of their life was a short period. She's the events coordinator. Doing all the open houses. These open houses I've been going to, she's the one that organizes all of them. And so, this only goes from, September to November. So, these 2 months, she's juggling lots of glass balls. But she gets to put those balls down after November.
Yes.
She's not doing this. And that brings up a great point. My old colleague, Shandy Wilson, when she talked about stress in her college success skills class, she talked about how that stress is like a weight. And what makes a weight heavy? It's not necessarily how much it is, but it's how long you hold it. She said, if you were to hold a 1 pound weight out at arm's length for a couple of hours, your arm's going to get messed up.
Yeah, I would not last 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind with stress, is that there may be points in your life where you are functioning adequately with a lot of stress on your plate. However, you won't be able to maintain that in a healthy fashion for very long. And so keep in mind that not only where your stresses are coming from, but how long you've held them. Because it may very well be that the best thing to do is to put one of them down for a brief period. You know, take the W or the fail on the class. And let's be clear, the only reason she failed it was because she didn't come to this reason, but she didn't come to this conclusion until after the drop date.
Don't learn from my mistakes.
Don't do that. Learn from her mistakes, right? So acknowledging how long you've had certain things, and if putting them down may not be the best thing for the time being. It doesn't have to be dropped. You don't have to drop the ball, but purposefully putting the ball down may be the best thing for a period of time. And that's true of a lot of things in life. Breathing, not so much. You don't want to stop doing that for a while, but
yes, please, please keep breathing.
But take slower breaths as you put other things down. So certainly hope that this information has been of some use. Definitely go and watch that webinar on our website about managing finals anxiety. A wonderful presentation. There's a lot of other stuff out there as well. Let us know your thoughts. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're online. And we hope to see you next time.
See ya.